We have received information, according to our clerk's office, that Mr. Kavanaugh did not open the notice setting oral arguments that was sent to him, so he's not here. Now, we're going to give you your choice. If you want to proceed with your end of the argument, we would be glad to hear you and listen to you and ask you questions. Then we will decide the case. It will be the only argument that will, oral argument that will be held in this case. And basically, we are concluding that Mr. Kavanaugh has forfeited his opportunity to present oral argument. However, if it is your preference not to do so, since he's not here, we don't want to force you to do something that you want to do. You have been very gracious and respectful of opposing counsel, so I want to give you the opportunity to do what you wish to do.
I prefer to proceed.
All right, why don't you do that, sir?
Can I do that from this position, Your Honor?
Let us see if the microphone is picking you up.
For me, once I move this over a little bit.
1, 2, 3, test. One, two, three, test.
Perhaps, Mr. Kavanaugh, if we can do, Mr. McDonald, I'm sorry, I apologize. If we could do this, if we could push you over to that table, and if you could sit there and put your documents on that table, perhaps that will work better. I want to make sure it's comfortable for you, though.
That's comfortable enough.
Is that okay, sir?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. All right. We're now going to call the case of SpaceCon Specialty versus ICAO. The record should reflect what we've discussed with Mr. McDonald up to this point, and the reason why Mr. Kavanaugh is not here, and the reason that, and that Mr. McDonald has decided that he wishes to provide oral argument, and our conclusion that Mr. Kavanaugh has waived his opportunity for oral argument. Mr. McDonald, you're free to proceed, sir.
William McDonald for the claimant, Erasmo Ordonez. My number is 12393. There are essentially two issues raised by respondents in the opening and reply briefs. The first goes to whether or not the judge erred at hearing in not pushing Mr. Ordonez to identify why he was entitled to assert the Fifth Amendment. And the case that really goes to this is the one I submitted as supplemental authority, the Rosados case. And Rosados makes it crystal clear, it isn't just a matter of, I asked to raise the Fifth, they object, and now I have to spill the beans as to every reason why and basically give the testimony that will put me in threat of being imprisoned. You look at the entire scenario of what went on at the hearing. What went on at this hearing is quite clear. They are trying to prove, or assert at least, that claimant is an undocumented alien, is in the country illegally, is therefore not permitted to be employed by employers and not earn wages. The judge made that very clear in his comments on pages 894, 95, 96. When they're discussing this issue, and he says this could be imprisonment and or a fine. And under Rosados, if you look at what's going on at the hearing, it's crystal clear what the purpose of him raising the Fifth Amendment objection, what's that based on? And there, it's not just a simplistic, you know, the judge has to, in every case, come out with an investigation of the witness as to how this could possibly result in imprisonment or lead to prosecution of that particular witness. And the other cases, the Griffin case is cited in the Rosado's opinion. That says that the person exercising their rights under the Fifth, they can be very imprecise. It's just that the court has to have an inkling as to why they're raising the Fifth Amendment objection, privilege. They don't have to reveal the essence of their testimony or what their testimony would be. They need only raise a possibility that incrimination could result. And this really counters statements in appellant's briefs as to, well, did he have a real likelihood of being prosecuted, or a substantial, the kind of different words like that that they used. Those are not applicable. It's just a mere possibility is enough to trigger the Fifth Amendment protections. And again, in Griffin, they say you have to give careful consideration to all the circumstances of the case.
Mr. McDonald, I just want to make sure I have a good picture of the overall case. In finding that Mr. Ordonez was disabled, did the ALJ rely on the fact or on the alleged fact that he was legally disabled to work, or that he was undocumented, I should say? Or did we rely on other factors in order to conclude that Mr. Ordonez was disabled?
Well, under the federal law, the IRCA, he's not legally unable to work.
Right. Right.
He can work. It's the limitation is on somebody hiring him. So there's a
right.
Split
so
right
I used the wrong phrase. Did the ALJ rely on the alleged undocumented status of the claimant?
He specifically declined to take a negative inference from the fact that Mr. Ordonez took the Fifth.
So that didn't have any impact on the ultimate conclusion that Mr. Ordonez was disabled?
No, because what the judge really ruled was physically and really psychologically, he's unable to work, whether he's here, whether he's in Mexico, or anywhere else. He's permanent total. And that was what led to the conclusion that his status as documented or undocumented was irrelevant, although the panel also included the concept of it being immaterial, which may leave open the possibility it's somehow at least slightly relevant, but it's not something that will change the outcome.
Pardon me for interrupting, Mr. McDonald, but I want to make sure I understand this. There's a Colorado statute that says that the prospect that someone may be here and undocumented could have some effect on their ability to gain future work, right?
There is no legal disability under the Workers' Comp Act.
Well, I understand that, okay. But it says that you could take that into consideration as a factor, right?
Yes.
But in this case, as I read the order, the ALJ said, well, all this is out there, but there are physical problems and psychological problems here, and it is these things that convince me that this man can't work.
Correct.
So if we look at those under our normal standard of review, do we need to resolve the issues of whether that statutory factor even was, you know, should be applied, because the ALJ didn't talk about it? And do we need to address the Fifth Amendment issue?
Well, I think in terms of addressing the fact of undocumented status or potential undocumented status, I think the panel hit the nail on the head. It's immaterial, given the facts of his physical and psychological disabilities.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Another point of their evidence was their vocational rehabilitation expert, Mr. Montoya. He asked a claimant at their vocational evaluation if he had valid papers, and he said no, he didn't. He didn't say, I have them, I can't find them, I didn't bring them today, they're not on me. He didn't say what that meant. And Mr. Montoya leapt to the conclusion, oh, this means he's undocumented. And he left the discussion of that with the claimant right there. That was the end of it. Later on, when Mr. Montoya was on the stand at page 1055 of the record, lines 1 through 6, the judge said that he took what Mr. Montoya said to mean he didn't have valid papers, not to prove authority to work in the United States, but to prove citizenship. And Mr. Montoya, who was on the stand at the time, he was the witness, he said, that's correct. So they're talking about citizenship, not authorization to work, which is obviously given to many non-citizens under various circumstances. And Mr. Kavanaugh, Respondent's Counsel at hearing, said, I'll leave it at that. And then the rest of the examination after that just went to different things, didn't come back to immigration status. So that's one thing, you know, their own expert is talking about and confirmed under oath. He wasn't talking about all the things that might result in the ability to work in the United States. He was talking about citizenship, and he confirmed it. Respondents say several places in their briefs that under the Albertson case, which was the 6 months potential imprisonment for civil contempt, Colorado case, they kept talking about there were statutory amendments, and there were no statutory amendments. This was an amendment to CRCP 107 by the Supreme Court. And that was, the Supreme Court interprets and applies constitutional law, which is what they did in that instance, but they don't write constitutional law. The Constitution is written, just like statutes are written. And I think it's important just to note, we're not talking about statutes that specifically required the giving of certain rights and notices under CRCP 107. We're just talking about a rule, which was the Supreme Court's interpretation of constitutional protections and when they should apply. Under the Silva case, that was a personal injury case, an auto accident, where the plaintiff was apparently an undocumented alien. The Court of Appeals said respondents must, they said immigration status couldn't be relevant, but the defendant, or the defendants in that case, respondents in work comp claim, must show a violation of the IRCA. And that was not shown in this case. The respondents are trying to bootstrap Mr. Montoya's testimony to say, well, he sort of thought it was, therefore the judge is obligated to make that inference. And the judge is not obligated to make that inference. And in this case, he specifically did not make that inference. Also in Silva, you have to show that the person is unlikely to remain in this country during the period for which they would be claiming lost wages. And there was no such showing comparable to that at this hearing. Mr. Ordonez has been in the United States for 24 years prior to his accident, which was about 4.5 years ago. And there's no reason to think he's not gonna be here for a long time. Certainly nothing in the record that would demonstrate that. The Balbuena case, which was a New York case cited within the Silva opinion, made a point that under New York law, they said state labor law is not preempted by federal immigration law. They're two separate things. And, you know, whether Colorado does or doesn't give these benefits under their work comp system doesn't seem to be a federal matter. That's strictly a state matter. And also in Balbuena, they said they, there must be shown a violation of the IRCA. Uh, The second major issue that was raised was they say the panel erred in affirming the ALJ, concluding that claimant's immigration status is irrelevant. There might be a tangential amount of relevance, although really when we're talking about claimant allegedly has a certain legal status, and strictly due to that status, he's unemployable, at least on the employer's end, if not on his end. That is a legal disability. That's not a factual question. And in Colorado, we've had the decision from this court, Court of Appeals, under Champion Auto, that there are no legal disabilities attached in the work comp system to being an undocumented alien. There simply aren't. And any way they want to frame this, they keep wanting to turn it into a factual issue, but it was presented to the judge through Mr. Montoya, their expert's testimony, as a legal disability. And that's really what it is, because it flows strictly from legal status. And I don't think we have legal disabilities flowing from that status in the work comp system in Colorado. To flip through my notes, I thought I'd be taking notes while Mr. Kavanaugh spoke.
Of course.
One thing worth noting is respondents did not appeal any of the factual findings. It's clear that even Mr. Montoya said under oath, if you accept Dr. Torres' hearing testimony, Mr. Ordonez is unemployable. And it's crystal clear the judge did accept Dr. Torres' testimony and did not accept Mr. Montoya's conclusion that there were certain jobs that he could do. And there's boatload of evidence to support those findings, and they were not appealed. So they can't reverse those writings, those findings, due to some legal argument. They have to appeal the findings, and they didn't do that. I think that's probably all I have. Are there any questions?
No, there aren't. Mr. McDonald, thank you for your time. We very much appreciate you coming today. The case will stand submitted and an opinion will issue in due course. Please have a safe journey home.
Thank you.